Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is Dana Williamson here with Bad X FBI. Thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast, Blessed Bureau, where we are here at week four of Conversations the Saints Need to Have, What's Wrong with Sex? And as usual, I like to get into getting some housekeeping done, but I do want to thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you much for those of you that have sent me sent me shout outs or said, hey, you're doing a good job, and or we love what you're doing. I appreciate that. I thank you so much. But here's the housekeeping. Bad FBI, Blessed Bureau, is part of the Bad brand. And it is Blessed, Anointed, Destined, Faith Bureau of Investigations. Now, you're probably wondering why Bad FBI, because that might put a bad taste in folks' mouth, and I might have people looking at me that I don't want looking at me. Let me tell you that bad is not a bad thing. It is not talking about our law enforcement agencies or our government agencies in any way, shape, or form. As I've just said, it's bad, Blessed, Anointed, Destined, Faith Bureau of Investigations. It is my business. It is my ministry. I bring those two things together. And when bringing those two things together, I am basically showing you exactly how things should be. The business helps to bring the ministry for the ministry to do things. So any money that comes in through the business, I shuffle that through the ministry because the ministry needs help. I could go on a long, long story about what we do as a ministry and what we do as a business, or how the business supports the ministry, but that's for another conversation at another time. But what I'm sharing that with you now, getting through our housekeeping, is I would love for you to go over to badfbi.info and see what we're all about, see what we're doing, all the new things that are connected to me and under the Bad brand. Yes, you will find a website for Bad Dana Marie. You will find a website for CKQ Gifts, which was my first business when I started 20 years ago. And you will also find books and publishing information on the website. And you will find our two new babies. The most recent baby is Faith Travel for You, brought her back after about 4 or 5 year hiatus, and Queen Cuts, which is the construction side of the Bad brand, which was established last year after a successful training in the basics of construction. So with that, I pray that you all will go over to the website and, you know what, share us. If there's something you like, something you want to talk about, contact us. Send an email, send a text. We're available. So with that, tonight's show is week four, and can I just tell you something? I need to go and just kind of trump what I wanted to talk about today, which was in the information, if you looked at it in the podcast, was I want to talk about, you know, marriages, Christian marriages, and the divorce rate in Christian homes or Christian families. And how many of those divorces have to do with sexual tension or frustration? And you know, we can say to everyone, a man's going to cheat or a woman's going to cheat because they just are. But there still has to be a foundation to that. You can't just let people just get away with what that's just who they are. A man's going to be a man, a woman's going to be a woman, and there's that. You know what? I can hang up now. I could in the podcast right now. But that's not true. That's not true. So here's the reason why I want to say this. I want to change that whole conversation from, you know, the Christian, what is the rates of Christian divorces and whatnot. And you know what? I couldn't find anything that was really within the last 10 years. You know, anything that was in the last couple of years, everything was older within the last 10 years. And I'm thinking, okay, that's 10 years too much. The most recent information I found on Google was from 2008. And even that was not the rate of divorces in Christian homes. And then there was one that was a little closer in time, which is about 2014, but even still that looked like it was pieced together. So I'm saying, okay, Lord, hold on. I can't possibly be going to have this conversation today for the simple fact that there's nothing out there. So why have we been telling this lie? So my first point I want to get to you, and please, if you want to call in and let's talk about it, please do. The number is 914-803-4530. Again, 914-803-4530 is the guest call-in number. So I'm saying, Lord, wait a minute. I've heard people say that the divorce rate in Christian homes is higher than the rate in homes that aren't Christian or homes that, you know, different. And I said that on the show last week. So I'm like, wait a minute. I think I trust people too much, and that's just freaking ridiculous. I shouldn't do that. God knows I shouldn't do that, so Lord, forgive me because I shouldn't do that. But especially when it comes down to those kind of statistics. In that area, I trust people. When you say stuff out of your mouth and you say statistically, this is what this is, I'm trusting that you've done your due diligence. So now that I'm doing my due diligence, I'm finding that some of y'all aren't. Let me just say it point blank, period. Some of y'all are lying because you don't know. If you know 10 people that are all Christians and 8 of them are divorced or getting divorced on their second marriage or whatever, that doesn't mean that the divorce rate is higher in Christian homes because your 8 friends got a divorce and remarried and probably got a divorce again. No. It's what's happening there is what we realize now what's not happening. We're not helping the people. So first of all, let's just trump this whole thing about Christian marriages and divorce, okay? And two, let's get to the heart of the matter, which is our topic, our fourth week we're working on here is what's wrong with sex. And can I touch on if the marriages are dissipating because lack of intimacy, there's sexual tension there, frustration there. Is that a possibility? But let me take the Christian aspect off the table because we know that people will cheat. Now, I won't say men cheat more. I won't say women cheat more or less. But people will cheat. Why? There's something they're missing at home. Is it just the mentality of is it just, you know, something they're not getting? What is that they're not getting? Is it the mentality of, okay, sexually I'm not getting what I need? Or is it you're not listening to me, the communication factor? So I'm going to get in the bed with someone else because they communicate better with me? The problem here, and I can't answer the problem. I can't answer it. But the problem here is that we need to talk to the people who cheated. Well, I just, you know, she was cute. She had a big butt. He was attractive. He listened to me. He's more on my level. Okay, that's it. So he was attractive. He listened to you, so you jumped in bed. She had a big butt, different than your wife does, which, I mean, you're not always looking at her butt in relations. You guys have to follow me here. You know, get past, let me talk to the Christians real quick. Get past being a prude and get to the heart of the matter, which is why we're having these conversations anyway. If we do not get to the heart of the matter, how are we going to help women that haven't had any relations go into these marriages with a blind eye? Because she's going to be thinking, if you know, I'm going into this, I don't know what I'm doing, maybe he's experienced, he might not be satisfied with me, and then I lose my husband because I don't know what to do. See the whole, and thank you, Lord, the whole thing on the marriage bed sessions that I'm seeing now, why God even had me bringing this conversation back, is not so that I can pull people in the marriage bed sessions. It is so that I can add to the marriage bed sessions and the client can get more of what they need. Because, see, as Apostle Dana, remember I said earlier, the business helps the ministry. So, okay, stay with me. As Apostle Dana, I have to be able to counsel them through what they're trying to get help with, which means I need to go to whatever that underlying problem is, whatever that problem is at the foundation. It can't, if I'm attracted to, I'm married, but I'm attracted to this man, why am I attracted to him? I can't be all in on my marriage if I'm attracted to this man. Now I can use that as an example, and I can tell you from experience, you can be all in your marriage and not attracted to another man. How can I say that? Because I was that. That was me. I was that wife. As soon as I said I do, my name changed. My mindset was, I'm all in on my husband. I think I had been married maybe 2 years. Two and a half years. My husband and I had been together for a few years before we got married. Okay, yes. Yeah. That happens. So what? We're together for a few years? Nonetheless, I think I had been married about 2 years, and this guy had come into the office where I worked. And my coworker was like, ooh, he's handsome. Did you notice him? How you talk to him? And, you know, just, you know, couldn't flirt a little bit. And I was like, I had to look at her real good and say, I'm married. Okay, but you ain't blind. And so I looked back down the hallway as the man was walking away, and I was like, I must be, because I didn't see nothing what you saw. And if he's cute, okay. If he's single, go. You are too, so go. And you have to understand, I'm saying it this way because that's how life is. In general, it is, listen, I ain't got time. If I'm talking about being married to this one man for the rest of my life, guess what? My eyes are only on him. Now, truth be told, his eyes wasn't only on me, but that's okay because it wasn't for me to be, at the time, it wasn't for me to be concerned about whether or not he was doing something outside of us. I was trying to make sure we were good. That's what I'm supposed to do, make sure we were good. I'm not supposed to chase you down around the world to see if you're not. So with that said, I was that wife. So yeah, women, you can be all in on your husband. Because you said I do. You said I do before God and before some other witnesses. Might have been just two witnesses, might have been 200. I don't know. But you said, I'm all in. You said, I'm good. You said, I do. You took his name. You became one. People, I've heard this throughout my lifetime where people have said you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. Forgive me for saying, but who says you can't? People can change. Who says you can't? See, a housewife is nothing but a wife who stays home. She makes sure the food is cooked, the house is cleaned, and her man is taken care of. However that needs to be, whatever she needs to do. So behind closed doors, because that's the part we always get to, is that the marriage bed is undefiled, right? So if this quote-unquote hoe does whatever she needs to do behind closed doors with her husband in that marriage bedroom, it's not our concern. The truth of the matter is that we don't want, Let me say this differently. We want to always have the negative out there so that we can say the positive is the only way that works. So the woman who's been saving herself, which the Lord says, save yourself. The Lord says, no fornication. We want that. But we need to be able to teach a woman and make her comfortable and say, girl, when that bedroom door closes, Ain't nobody you got to answer to but your husband and your Lord. You don't answer to us. And the troublesome part about it is that we have made people feel, men and women, feel like they have to answer to us. Like they have to go to church and answer to us. They don't. Now, yes, okay, I've had numerous conversations over the past 48 hours about going to Catholic school. And one thing I know about Catholics is they have confession. So they go into a closed door and they confess to the Lord, but they're confessing to the priest. He is over there. He listening. He listening. Okay. Truth be told. Nonetheless, it's between the visual is that whatever I've done, when I repent or if it's wrong or whatever, it's between me, the Lord, and my husband. Okay. Anything, we know that you can't be sexually perverse. That's what the word says. But then we have to, and this might be week five, then we have to decide, okay, what is actually perverse? We know sodomy is not, no, not happening. That's what the word says. We also know that fornication is just, that's it. We're not no shacking up. I did it, okay? Don't get me wrong. See, this is where people will say, listen, you failed. I failed. I repented. I moved on there. So, yes, we know fornication. We know sodomy. We know that. We know that. We know adultery. We know all of that. But we don't know what the other parts are. And this is not me going to the word and trying to decipher that for myself or try to break it down and then teach it to you. I tell everyone, listen, you better be in prayer about whatever it is you think you want to do. And if you feel uncomfortable, don't even try it. Let's talk to God first. Go ahead and talk to God because that's where you need to get your answers from. And my troublesome part about that, which means, let me say this here. People will find it, well, let me go talk to my pastor. Hold on. That's the stuff that you don't tell everybody. Because you cannot trust man with the information that God only needs to hear. See, God has seen you, God knows what you're doing, and God knows what you're thinking, okay? As soon as you go to that man, that person in the flesh, and you go to them and say, I'm having this problem, you better know that they are 125.759% sent by God. Or you could be giving away your whole life story to somebody who's going to share that or preach about you over the pulpit. Fight me on that one if you want to, but I've experienced that firsthand. CTC, I've experienced that firsthand. Nonetheless, when you talk about helping a person and giving them the knowledge that needs to be done, there's some things that we just can't dabble into. I watched a program or something I heard somewhere where, you know, it's not our problem. This is not for us to handle. It's God. It's not for us to keep trying to decipher. It's God's everything for him to release to us. So when we talk about, you know, the marriage bed being undefiled, we also have to say all of that too. Well, what we know that sodomy is not it. We know, listen, don't come in here. You done went out and had sex with your side chick. Don't come in here because you wrong. You way wrong, and you're going to bring all them extra demons into our bedroom. You know, there's some things that sexually in a marriage where you have to get right before God before you can even say if this is right or wrong. Because if in your heart of hearts you feel like it's wrong, then you have to say, I gotta do this differently. Let me repent, Lord. Let me repent because I do feel like it's wrong. And teach me. And teach me. And teach me. Because you know what? It's better to be safe than to be sorry. It's better to be safe than to lose your marriage on a technicality. It's better to be safe than to go to hell on a technicality. It's better to be safe than to go against any of the Ten Commandments. And think you're going to make it to the other side. It's better to be safe. It's better to be in right standing. It's better to be covered. It's better to be. Do you understand what I mean? You cannot put yourself And we have a last 10 minutes. If you want to call in, please do, 914-803-4530. This is Bless Bureau, and we are talking about conversations the saints need to have. What's wrong with sex, part four. If I could go back and change all the things that I did from starting at 16, I would, okay? But if I could just go back and you know, go through, if someone was available to me as a young woman dating, so in my middle 20s to my early 30s, before I got married, if someone could have said to me, you know, let's sit down and talk about this. Let's sit down and, you know, these are the things. If somebody would have said that to me all those years ago, and God is putting it on my mind, two women did say that to me. Two women did say, well, you know, what you need to do. And it wasn't so as detailed as I'm getting right now. One, times have changed. But two, if I had paid attention to what they were saying to me when I got engaged, I don't think I would have gotten married. I think I would have paid more attention to the fact that I need to succeed. I need to succeed. And then he and I, could have revisited marriage later. Because there's so much to know. There's so much that it's not just, you know, when I started this, it was because of the book, Through a Thing, and then that developed into the Marriage Bed Sessions, the first part of last year. It opened up into the Marriage Bed Sessions. And now it's like these Marriage Bed Sessions really should be the pre-counseling to the marital counseling before you get married, or the counseling in the middle of your marriage, because there is a foundation that everything is built off of. You know, we have been taught, you know, sex is just sex. You know, when we were teenagers, it was don't have sex or don't have unprotected sex. And then you have to ask yourself, well, I had to, or why? Why didn't we just say don't have sex? Why didn't they just tell us why? You know, and it was always because we don't have babies, because we don't want you to have babies at an early age, and we don't want you to have sexually transmitted diseases. But where were those spiritual people at when we needed to know about sexually transmitted demons? None of the prophets were talking about that at that time. Where were they? Or the fact that you shouldn't have relations with somebody who's not your spouse. Not your God-ordained spouse. You should not be having relations with somebody who's not put in place to be your significant other, not your significant other, your spouse. You know, and what's really, oh my gosh, what's really hard to hit home is that we all know we've made those mistakes. We all know that we didn't consider our bodies a living sacrifice. We all know that, you know, even though I went to church every Sunday, faithfully, every Sunday, but I was there. I might not have been listening, but I was there. So we all know that was our lives, right? But then when it comes down to this here, okay. I'm 48 years old. I'm 48 years old. It's 30 years later. 32 years later. And I had no one at the time to tell me what I needed to know to make better decisions. Do I regret having my daughter at 18? No, I do not. Do I regret having my other children? Mm-mm. Nope, don't regret it at all. Do I regret the marriage I had? Nope, do not regret the marriage at all. But there's always this problem that we take into any relationship, and that, hey, my world, that we take into any relationship, and we don't fix whatever that problem is. And we feel like, and let me tell you this, I'm going to say this because I believe it, and I talked to the Lord about it, and there are some things where we feel like we've been delivered from, but we're not healed from it. Because if we can still talk about it, or if we still talk about it and it brings us some kind of pain or brings us some kind of sorrow or it brings us something, you know, that's the challenge. That's the challenge. And I had been wondering, and I think if you guys have been following me since week one, I've been saying, okay, wait, Lord, why am I having this conversation again about sex? I mean, people are going to think that I have this hang up about sex, and it's not the sex. And I'm realizing that just tonight. So let me say thank you, Lord, for making it clear. But I'm realizing that just tonight that this second part, this second session is not about the sex or what all happens behind the closed doors in the bed. It's what happens before you can get that door closed. It's what happens before that person can get engaged. It's what happens before you can say, I do. It's the problem that lingers over, and a woman may not even understand what the problem is. You know, because, you know what, let me say it's me. Let me just use myself as an example because I've been married before and I have children. And I get married again and I've got a problem. I can't even function behind, and what does that mean? What is that? And he can't answer it for me because he's not going to know. The only person that can answer that for me is the Lord, and he's going to say what needs to be said. My husband will try to help, and we'll try to come, but if that happens, see, ladies, because I'm talking to the ladies, we have to be open to the Holy Spirit saying to us, okay, here's the problem. And we have to be open to understanding that whatever the problem is could go back 30 years, which means that we still need healing from it, even though we might have been delivered from it. People say healing and deliverance go together. Well, that's something that we've been taught, but guess what? I can be delivered from fornication. But whatever happened, you know, that made me feel bad about that whole situation, I may not be healed from. So that's why I just ask God whatever else you need to ask. Ask him. And then get what you need from him. Because when you do, then you will be able to reach out to somebody, or then you'll be able to step into the marriage bed sessions and say, this is what I found out. How can you assist? So with that, I thank you all so much for tuning into the podcast. Again, I'm Dana Williamson, and this has been Blessed Bureau. And theme for tonight has been conversations the saints need to have. What's wrong with sex? Next week will be week 5, and that will be the last week. Thank you, Lord. That will be the last week, and he's just giving me a topic, or not a topic, but just a few things he wants me to point out. So if you've been tuning in to and keeping up with the podcast, you'll find the information soon. Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful rest of your night. God bless.